Welcome to Game Store Profits, where we talk about God, gaming, and groups. I'm your host, Daniel Fisher, today, and here along with me is the president of Inroads Ministries, Mike Perna. Mike, it's good to have you on the show today. How you doing?
What's wrong?
What do you mean, what's wrong?
What happened? Has something gone wrong? Is my video lying? Are you shaved? Because that would, because if normal Mirror Universe bad guys have goatees, that would make your Mirror Universe guy be clean shaven, and I'm just confused because there was nothing weird. It was normal. Well, it is literally something that people call me.
But that's your title, Mike.
I know.
That's what I'm supposed to call you. I mean, you're the president of Inroads Ministries.
Hi, Daniel. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, buddy. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing.
Guys, it is Saturday night, the 16th of June. You know what that makes this? It's the Saturday after TavernCon, and it's also free RPG Day.
I'd love to say that we did this intentionally to wait and see what was happening on RPG Day, but basically it just comes down to it was after TavernCon, and everybody was busy, and my goodness, was I just fried the entire beginning of this week.
And I've just had a tiring week. Nothing crazy, just I started working out more in the gym at work, so.
I'm reminded suddenly of, there's a guy who's been going gangbusters in board game media recently. He goes under the name of Take Your Chits. My goodness, every day on Twitter, he always has the same thing. Today is the day I start working out. And I'm not gonna lie, a lot of people are like, what is wrong with him? What is he doing? I'm just dying of laughter every time he does it.
Well, so my buddy Nick at work, me and him work out during our lunch breaks. So, it's, I'm trying to turn it into a game, but there's really no way for me to turn this into a game.
Okay. Well, there actually is. There are apps that you can do, like the zombie run things and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've done that. I just keep track of everything we do, so see if I get better. Maybe one day I can get my strength up to 15.
Yeah, there's lots of ways you can do it, but a lot of them are weird, and I completely understand. Yeah. But clearly we're going to talk about Free RPG Day. Clearly we're going to talk about TavernCon. There's some other stuff we're going to be talking about. Like the fact that, here, I'll do this because there are often times when I do this, it's my motivator because I have to get it done by the time that this goes live. I'm going to tell you that you should go over to our website and view the review for Wisdom of Solomon because TavernCon, and a combination partly on their side, partly on my side. On their side, it got caught up in the printers, and so it got to me late. The prototype copy of Wisdom of Solomon got to me late. The part that's mine is the fact that they got it to me right in the neighborhood of TavernCon, and so my life revolved around that event, so it was very hard for me to sit down and write a review.
Well, I'll probably give that a look-see tomorrow.
Yeah.
Since I'll be in bed in about an hour.
Yeah. So, that review will hopefully be up shortly. But, yeah, so before we get into any and all of that stuff, we should probably talk about what we normally talk about, which is, Daniel, what have you been playing lately?
Let's see here. We actually played Sushi Go the other day, which we hadn't brought that one out in a long time. We did have a card get damaged, but I guess we'll have to contact Game Ride to get a replacement card for that. And then all the wonderful games I got to see and play at Free RPG Day.
Nice. So, do you want to just get into that? Because all of my games I've played lately have literally all been tied to TavernCon. So, if you would like to expound upon what you've been playing.
So, all right. So, actually, I got to play it in a game that I've actually bought a while back. It's A Song of Ice and Fire, based off of Game of Thrones.
What's that? An old game? Could this be our one and only segment, the Archive Dive?
Why, yes, it is. So, it's a D6-based system, and the way it works pretty much is you don't have stats. You have amount of dice that you get to roll. And then if you take negatives, you get to drop the lowest one and things like that. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. The guy that ran it, he's actually in the tavern as well. His name's Wes Goodwin. He is a really good DM, and I told him if he ever wants to run this full time, just holler at me. I'll play it.
So I am curious because lots of people have all sorts of feelings about Game of Thrones. So I'm not going to go into the good, the bad, or the ugly of Game of Thrones. But what I do know about it, because I read most of the books, is that so much of what makes Game of Thrones Game of Thrones is the whole idea, the politicking and the craziness and the hidden information and the weird backstabbery. How does that play out in the role-playing game?
So we played just a small, simple scenario. It took us about 2 hours. And the way we started it, I don't want to get too far into the actual scenario, but, you know, we were traveling for a tourney. We were going towards King's Landing to do the tourney there. We had to stop at an inn. We discovered some dead bodies. You know, we just spent a night in the inn, and the next day we were leaving. We were met by brigands or bandits or whatever on the road, and they forced us to, you know, get into a engagement with them, per se. And I was playing two characters because we didn't have a lot of people jump in, so me and the other guy played two characters. And I was a sire, but I was also playing the lord of my sire as well. And the lord was 14, and the sire was, like, in his 30s. And I'm like, I'm willing for this kid to die, me become the new lord. I'm okay with that. So, I was planning that ahead. If this kid dies, I'm picking up that crown and shoving it on my head. So it works that way. But the really cool thing that we got to do at the end of the game, after we got through playing, you could play at different levels from what I understand. So we played at a level to where we are just travelers, per se, in the same house. So, but you can actually build houses. It gives you rules to build houses. So we played around with it afterwards and got to build our own houses out and by rolling dice. And that was pretty interesting. You know, it has ways to come up with your backstory of your house. And then, you know, a lot of people will do that, and it kind of, I wouldn't say turn into like a war game per se, but you're actually houses fighting each other now and things of that nature. You control multiple characters and stuff. So I need to get more into it. I've got the books. I just hadn't had a chance to read them, but I'm kind of excited about it. Hopefully I can get into more games with it.
All right. So clearly you were playing Song of Ice and Fire at Free RPG Day.
Yeah.
Now, you did, for those of us who are in the tavern, our Facebook group, we got to see a picture of some of the swag you brought home. Now,
yes.
Free RPG Day, it's usually, what is it, like samples or setting books and stuff like that?
It's quick rules plus a module, usually. So, the one I was really excited about was Kids on Bikes.
I love Kids. I need to run Kids on Bikes. I need to do that so badly.
Well, I think I'm going to run it with my kids while they're not on their bikes, but...
So you're going to have a game of Kids on Bikes.
Yeah, Kids on Bikes. But no, it was really cool. But the other one I was really excited about, because I forgot that they were putting in a module for this, is Overlight.
Yes, the RPG created by the folks at Renegade Games.
Yes. Now, I almost actually got into a game of Genesis, because my friend was like, you know, it was either this or Genesis. I was like, well, if you want to bust Genesis out, I'm willing to sit down for another 2 hours.
Nice.
So, but he's like, no, I'm okay with that. So, then I had to name drop TR's name. So,
I know a guy.
I know a guy. He wrote the book. Well,
he edited the book.
I know. I like to say that, though. And they're like, really? So, but it was cool. There was a game of Hackmaster going on. There was a game of Cobalt Ate My Baby. Then there's another one. I think it was called like Spirit of 76 or something like that.
Spirit of 76.
Where it's like 1976.
Yep.
And it's every cliche movie from the 70s that's turned up to 11.
Oh, yeah.
I almost got into that one.
Now, if you want, if you're listening and you don't mind listening to things that are incredibly not safe for work, the folks that do the Gamers Table a while back did an actual play podcast of their game of Spirit of 76. So that would give you a nice flair for the over-the-top ridiculousness of what you're watching. It's so good.
But I was excited about seeing that a little bit, but I almost got into that when it looked good. But yeah, I've got the new Weeby Super Goblins for Pathfinder, a new Pathfinder Starfinder module. I got to sit down and talk to some guys about Pathfinder. They're excited about the second edition of it for it coming out, so I talked about it.
I'm curious about the second edition. I'm going to leave it at that because I know a lot of people either don't care at all or care overly too much. So I'm just going to leave it at I'm interested in the fact that there's a new edition coming up.
Well, and I'll speak on this. I usually call Pathfinder Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. So, or Math Grinder. I mean, you know, I call it different things. But they're afraid that it's going to get dumbed down. And I told them, you know, from everything I've been reading in the podcast I've listened to and the meeting, you know, the little conferences they do, you know, it's not that it's getting dumbed down. It's just some stuff that was very clunky is getting streamlined.
Yeah.
And plus you get to play goblins as a playable character race.
I can't even imagine that they would ever, quote-unquote, dumb it down. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some people who are going to think that it's, quote-unquote, dumbed down. But, like, as a guy who's been playing RPGs for, and I did the math on this, over 20 years now, the first time I played Pathfinder, I played it as a full-grown man, and even I was losing track of the math.
Yeah.
So, like, there's dumbed down, and then there's playable to somebody who wants to do anything other than continually play Pathfinder.
Yeah. Well, D&D 5th edition, though, is so streamlined. I mean, I could build a character for that in like 10 minutes.
I have. I do for fun every once in a while when I'm not having a good time creatively. I will just randomly say, you know what? In fact, I just realized it's been, you know, a long, long time since I played an honest-to-goodness mage, and so I knocked up a mage the other day.
Well, it's good to keep extra character sheets around, especially if you randomly get into games.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? I'd love to randomly get into games. I have a hard enough time scheduling games these days.
It'll happen. It'll happen, Mike, trust me. One day your son's going to go, Dada, run me a game.
You've no idea how happy it will be if Noah turns into be a hardcore gamer. I mean, I'm going to do my darndest. I had this conversation with somebody a while back, and they're like, are you going to make your kid play games? I go, no, I'm not going to make my kid play games. I'm going to highly encourage my kid to play games, but I'm not going to make him play.
I think the key is to play games with your kids in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps them out a lot, especially, you know, when they start seeing that you're playing games with other people, and they're like, wait, why can't I play this game with you? Like, well, this is my game, but I will run you this game with your friends. Really? And then you turn it into a big old sleepover with pizza and carbonated beverages so that they get all strung out on Mountain Dew. It works.
How is the Boy Scout game going?
It is. I got my dice in. I'm holding them up to the camera. Y'all can't see them. They're a little white dice with our troop number on them and the Boy Scout logo. So I'm excited about that. It is in, oh man, the first one's in 9 days.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm so excited. You're all going to get, you know, I'm going to take notes to let y'all know the funny things that happened during this. The scouts are excited. They just came back from scout camp tonight, so they this is the next thing that they have on their calendar, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So is this, we've done the archive dive, we've had the report of Free RPG Day, is this...
Oh, I actually got free dice at Free RPG Day.
Look at you.
I know, just two though, it's alright. I think it's time to, we need to talk about, what happened last week?
I believe it's time for me to talk about Tavern Con.
Oh yeah.
Tavern Con went amazingly. As far as people are concerned, as far as number of people are concerned, it was just about the same as last year. We had just about 50, which just about is about as good as I can do because of the fact that we always try to, like, make a little note of how many people come by, but there's always people who come in by a side door or, you know, come in a big group and, like, three of them go into the room before we've had a chance to really talk to them. So it's about 50. But let me tell you a story about counting the money from TavernCon. I've always said there are two ways that I judge the success of TavernCon. One is to make sure that everybody there has a good time, that they leave saying it was a positive experience, and that they got to learn new games. That one, every year, I have always been immediately aware of. So, like, literally the second everyone leaves for the day, I already know if that one is successful. And I'm very thankful that there's never been a year where that hasn't been accomplished. The other one is, obviously, because it's our annual fundraiser, I want to make sure that we actually raise funds, especially because there is so much time, energy, and effort put towards making this event happen.
You want to make it rain for inroads.
I want to be able to, at the end of the day, to look and be able to have all the little numbers I put into the spent the spent list on the budget lead to some gains. Otherwise, you know, I really got to reevaluate my everything.
Yeah.
And normally, and again, this is going to be slightly boring for anybody who's ever dealt with nonprofit charity thing, but I want to tell folks because I believe in full disclosure. Normally we pull in, or the past couple years we've pulled in roughly about $500. Which is great.
It's nice.
Which is great. We do a lot of stuff with that because we don't do a lot of big ticket stuff. So we can do a lot with $500.
Yeah, we're stewardship. We practice it well.
Yeah.
We know it.
We do all of the games that we use for the ministry are all out of our pocket. We try to get stuff on sales. We try to find
get stuff donated.
Absolutely. We try to do as much as we can for as little as we can so we can make sure that anything that gets donated to us gets stretched. So I go through the cash box the Sunday, it was Sunday morning because TavernCon happened on Saturday. And I'm like, you know what? I'm up early. My boy got me up. I'm like, let's just count the box and see how it goes. And so I counted the cash box. I said, hey, we raised just about $500 after everything, after the cost of everything. That's pretty solid. And so I messaged the board and I said, hey guys, we raised about $500. And then Sean, who had been working, by the way, big shout out to Sean, who basically busted his butt all day on Saturday to then get in his car and drive out to Seattle.
All the way across the country.
All the way across the country.
Dude doesn't sleep.
So Sean messaged me back and he goes, did you check under the actual cash drawer? And I said, no. Why? Did you put anything under there? And he goes, uh-huh. And so the short version is that we didn't raise $500 this year. We raised about $1,200 this year.
Yay!
And part of that was because we had game companies that went above and beyond the call with donations. We had a local game store who literally, I had to question the sanity of these people because they're like, no, we're donating all of that. And then that, oh, by the way, we're also anything we sell while we're at TavernCon, we're going to donate a percentage of that back to you. I'm like, okay. So between that and some of the other stuff and some of the stuff that we've already been doing, it was a very, very, very successful TavernCon. I want to thank everybody who made that possible, for all the people who donated stuff to the quote unquote, regulars prize pool. There was a particular prize, a grouping of prizes that, went to one lucky winner that were donated from people in the community. I will say that I don't know if it's going to literally translate into sales, but so many people saw the owlbear from Andy at Whimsy Works and was like, where do I obtain one of these?
Hey, she told me I get one. She's bringing me some when the Gen Con.
They are so,
what's the book?
They are so cool. And I will tell you that I put up a video in the tavern, My boy loves his owlbear. Yeah. Loves. I've never heard him giggle that hard about anything. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it when they start laughing.
So TavernCon was phenomenal. There were a couple things that we have to that for some reason or another either didn't happen or we have to reevaluate or some other stuff. Like, one thing that we said was we were going to have demos of Gaslands.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Why?
There's a couple different... Basically, the planets... You know how they say, like, the planets aligned and everything worked perfectly? Whatever the opposite of that is what happened. So we had some volunteers who said, hey, I'm gonna be there and I'm gonna help, which would allow me to put them at the front table. A lot of them were suddenly like, hey, I can't come, or hey, work called, so I can't be there till later, or whatever. And so in the morning, I cut my volunteer base, like, significantly. So that's how Sean ended up at the front table. Sean was going to be running Gaslands, so there's that. Also, I mentioned how Sean was packed and ready to go to Seattle. Funny thing about things that get packed, one of them was his book of Gaslands.
No.
And so we just basically, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of interest, and so we basically just said, we're not going to fight for it. We're just going to let that go. We're going to try again next year. Another thing that we tried that wasn't not successful. I will use the double negative. It wasn't not successful, but it wasn't as successful as I'd hoped it would have been, which was the president's table, aka buy a ticket to play games with me. So we did have some people who wanted in. So it's funny because I noticed afterwards, because when a bunch of people were saying, oh yeah, I would totally do that. I would totally buy into all the things, and I would make sure that I was able to play with you. I looked at all the people who said that. None of them actually attended TavernCon. So it was a large group of people who said, yeah, yes, I would totally do that. I would absolutely buy a ticket for that if I was there. And they were not. So we are going to evaluate that, because it was successful enough that we're like, you know, there is something here. There is value here. There is something that's gonna work here. But it didn't quite hit. And so we're already talking about things that we can do to fix that. Things like maybe instead of having one giant Uber game, have a couple smaller games, have it be like a silent auction, and whoever won got to choose what game it was. Like, there's lots of different things that we're going to potentially try and figure out to see how we can make that better for next year. So,
yeah, sometimes those larger games, though, can be intimidating as well for some people, especially if they're not used to the 4-hour games.
Right, and that leads me into talking about what we played, because I did play Scythe, as many people in the tavern voted for me to play. I got to play Scythe on Saturday, and man, it just reminds me over and over again how much I love Scythe. I've spent way just large hours of talking about Scythe and why I love it on this podcast. In fact, it's funny because on the post that somebody, I think it was it Matt that started the post in the tavern about what's it called? What game are you excited to play? And I saw somebody's response was Scythe, because you people just can't stop posting about it.
Yeah.
So the thing I love about Scythe that particularly got explored this Saturday that I can kind of bring up again as kind of new material is that I played Scythe myself, who's played it a bunch of times. My buddy Ben, who has played it once before. The first and only time he's ever played Scythe was at TavernCon last year. And I played with two people who had never played it before. One who had heard about it from friends of theirs and who had wanted to learn how to play it, and so she figured that it, you know, being taught by me was a good idea. And one person who had literally never even heard of it before but wanted to give it a try.
Did they fall in love with it?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. The person who had friends who had talked about it and wanted to learn, she, you know, I've played with her before. She is a friend of mine. She, you could tell towards the end of the game she was kind of losing interest, which was funny because she was losing interest because she thought that she was getting whooped on. She ended up only losing by a couple points.
Oh wow!
And literally the only reason that she lost is because the guy who won held the factory and thus had a couple bonus points for holding the factory at the end of the game. Had he not done that, she would have won. And the person who had never even heard of it just kind of, she kind of just sat there and I'm like, okay, I don't know what to make of this. Are you dumbfounded or what? And she goes, this immediately makes me want to just sit here and think about what happened and how I want to do it better next time. I'm like, that is the sign of a good game.
At least she didn't want to flip the table.
When a game is so good that you leave it going, how can I play it better next time?
Scythe, I think, is one of those games that just really holds water.
It really does. It does a very good job of mixing it up. If you know what you're doing, it mixes things up. Like, you can do the varying end goal kind of things. Like, we did the standard every day. So, encounter tokens and buildings. You get bonus points.
Right.
But there are so many different variations on that end game scoring. And so, it can completely change things up. We didn't play with the Invaders from Afar expansion. Because again, out of the four of us playing, one guy played it once and two never played it at all.
Right.
So I didn't want to bust in characters that like had bombs and crazy rules and I'm like, no, we're playing with the stuff out of the box.
Well, in other Scythe news though, what happened on Steam this week?
I have yet to see it. I want to, but it's $20.
Yes.
Scythe, the actual application, not Scythe on Tabletop Simulator, not Scythe on Tabletopia. The Scythe app just got released.
Yes.
And from what I've seen, which granted is only trailers and screenshots, it looks pretty.
Yeah, well, I haven't got a chance to buy it yet either. It's one of those things of it's $20 that I really don't have at the moment. So that goes to other stuff. But yeah, I've seen pictures and videos of it as well, and it looks really good. It looks like it's going to take off once it gets full.
I really need to be able to at some point get it and put it through its paces. I want to see how it plays online, which is something that I need to see, because if it can't handle multiple players online, then it's not. I mean, yeah, it'd be worth it just because I'd like to be able to play Scythe solo. But if you can't handle like the load of multiplayer, then I don't know. I'd probably spend my money elsewhere and just play Scythe on Tabletop Simulator. I want to see what the animations look like, because again, I haven't gotten able to get it and download it.
Now, how did the paint and take go this year?
The paint and take went well. It went real well. People enjoyed it. We had one person bring their own mini.
What?
We had one person who went on our Facebook event and said, "Hey, by the way, if I don't necessarily need my own mini, I'll still pay the $5. I just want to learn how to paint it. Is that okay?" And I said, if it's okay with Brett, it's okay with me if you want to pay $5 to paint your own mini.
And so, which miniature did he bring?
It was a custom Hero Forge miniature.
Oh, nice.
He had a custom Hero Forge miniature of his own character, and it looked sweet. I'm not going to lie. It looked pretty epic.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah, I've been seeing a lot of those get painted on Reddit here lately.
Yeah, and so he wanted a chance to be able to paint it and make it look good, and it did. It looked real good. And I do believe that I made Brett's day. I made Brett very, very happy because he walked in, and he was another one that was running late. He's like, "Hey, when did you schedule the paint and take? Because I'm running behind." I'm like, "You're fine." And he comes in the door. He's already behind schedule. He's throwing stuff on the table, getting ready to get everything going. And I said, "Hey, Brett." He's like, "What? What's going on? What do you need?" And I'm like, "I brought Kingdom Death Monster." And he stopped. He stopped dead in his tracks. And he goes, "Can I see it?" And it was funny because when he left, I gave him the monsters. I'm like, "Just have fun. enjoy putting it together, because he was really excited about the concept of putting it together and painting it and making it pretty. And so, literally the next day, I follow my boy Brett on Instagram, and what do I see? One of the big, epic, giant-sized miniatures sitting on his table getting painted. It's already it had already been assembled, and he was working on the paint. And I'm just like, dude, I'm like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy did I make you? But, yeah.
Well, he'll have to bust out the airbrush now.
So, yeah, it continues to prove over and over again that whether you are neck deep in it or brand new, it's accessible. There are a lot of moving parts, but it is still accessible, and I love that. That is something that is so valuable. And it really makes me interested to see, I believe it's releasing at Gen Con, the My Little Scythe kids game.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's on my list of things to check out and possibly buy.
I continue to hear nothing but good things. I've heard that it's one of those things where it's not Scythe, but it is. Like, it uses a lot of the same mechanics, but it, you know, if you're looking for it to be like Scythe, you're going to be disappointed. But,
well, I need more kids games anyway, so
I just like the fact that you're gathering friendship points, and when you get into combat, it's a pie fight. It's stupid little things like the fact that combat is a pie fight. It makes me happy.
If the whole world could just have combat as a pie fight, things would be a lot better.
Yeah. Break down all the wars into sentient animals having pie fights. But
Russia could come up with some animals for us to do that with.
Wojtek rules. All right. I also have to play Alien Artifacts because people have learned the magic rules of playing games with me, during TavernCon. It's, hey Mike, will you teach us how to play this game? The answer to that is yes, especially if you're holding one of my favorites.
Did you get to play Top Gun, the card game?
No, I didn't get to play any of the games that were donated by Luke Gygax, though I did point out several times during the day, because I had to explain why I hadn't even begun to touch them yet. Like, I have no idea. They're like, can you teach me how to play this one? I go, no, because I haven't even opened that one yet. Like I had to come, so I had to point out many times, this was just donated to us by Luke Gygax. Isn't that cool?
One of the sons of Gary Gygax, the creator of Dungeons and Dragons. You always had to add that on there.
Yeah. So, but no, I didn't get to play any of those, but, I got to play Alien Artifacts. It was a really good experience. I still love what Alien Artifacts does because it takes a lot of the vibe of a 4X game and makes it so much smaller. Like, I know I keep saying that, like, that continues to be the thing that is my selling point for Alien Artifacts, but it really is true. It's a simple card game, but it does have a lot of the vibe of getting into battles and exploring planets and grabbing up resources to do stuff, and you're upgrading technologies. It does all the things, but just in a much smaller, more compact kind of package. At the same point, I find myself, a buddy of mine who wasn't able to make it to TavernCon this year, he every once in a while he'll text me and ask me questions about this board game or that board game, especially if there's a sale on and he wants my advice as to whether or not the thing he's looking at is worthwhile. Okay. So this guy, he messaged me and he's like, cause I had posted up a review that the guy that Shut Up and Sit Down had done. And in it, they said, like, this is the kind of game that you want to play with the same person over and over again as you learn all the intricacies and learn all the silly little rules and play over and over again to learn all this craziness. And I had posted up that video saying, man, I wish I was able to just sit down and play a game over and over and over again with the same person and really get into all the nitty gritty and experience all that. And literally maybe within an hour of me posting it, this guy texts me and he goes, if I were to be one person who would potentially obtain the War of the Ring, would you be a person who'd want to play it with me over and over and over again? I'm like, yes. Yes, I would. So, he messaged me a while back, and he's like, so I want to get into 4X games. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I hear you have Eclipse. I go, I do. He's like, we should play Eclipse. I'm like, okay.
I always love it when people are like, I heard you play this, let's play it.
Yeah, it's a fun time. I you know, there are times when I wish it didn't happen so often to me, because it's usually because I'm everyone's game connection.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I'm some kind of drug dealer on the corner. Oh, so you want deck builders, huh? I got your deck builders.
Well, I've turned into the public library of board games.
I actually ended up having to track one of mine down for Tavern Con. Somebody had borrowed it. Pit Crew had borrowed Pit Crew ages ago. And I'm like, hey, kind of running our major event for the year. I'd kind of like it back now.
Yeah, I wanted to, it's Kerosha, that one with the bunny rabbits. I've been really wanting to play it lately. And I've got to ask for it back at church. I'm like, can you bring this back?
Can you bring my game back?
I want to play it again. You've had it for months.
Yeah, so it's the to make the long story short, TavernCon was awesome. It continues to That's be great. Awesome. I'm super happy that we get to do it every year. And you know, I'm excited to see what happens next year, because I already have friends who are gamers. In fact, they're at Origins right now. They help volunteer to help with the rules enforcement for WizKids during doing all sorts of the gaming that they're doing, all the tournaments and stuff they're running out there. And they came to TavernCon this year only part of the day, and when I started talking about, you know, doing stuff differently with the president's table, they were already like, oh, we could do this and this, and I said, yeah, hopefully I'll have volunteers, and they're like, I'm pretty confident we can do it next year. I'm like, okay.
It's awesome.
So I'm always intrigued by how we can make it better, how we can improve things, how we can make the entire experience just better for people. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe we will do the Gaslands demo next year, or maybe I'll get my butt in gear and do a Guild Ball tournament. Who knows? The skies are the limit.
Yeah.
Especially now that Guild Ball is moving away from the metal miniatures and going to resin, which makes it literally half of the cost to get into this game.
That plus painting those things were a pain in the butt. I'll tell you this, because they have some huge miniatures. And I've painted Guild Ball miniatures that weigh almost 10 ounces.
Woof.
That's huge.
Yeah, if you're not in the miniatures world, 10 ounces doesn't sound like a lot. If you are in the miniatures world, you're going, oh my goodness, that's insane.
Yeah, like, I've got a Dreadnought, 40K Dreadnought in my hand right now, and it's plastic. And the other miniature that I painted for Guild Ball was an Alchemist, and it was the big hulking dude for the Alchemist team. And this probably weighs about 1.5 to 2 ounces. The thing, I actually weighed it before I painted it, just to say, this thing is humongous. And it was 9 ounces to almost 10 ounces. It fluctuated a little bit because I just didn't give it time to settle. But it was horrible. I had to pin every, because it's all, the thing about metal miniatures is super glue will hold it, but it doesn't like to hold it very well. So, like, you have to actually drill into the metal and put pins into it. Like, you'll drill a hole in an arm and then a hole in the body, and you've got to make sure it lines up, and then you'll put like a pin in there, which is made out of a cut up paper clip, and you'll super glue that in there, and it keeps it from moving.
Nope, no thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, and I always point that out to Drew every time I talk to him about his miniatures.
Yeah, no, it's that sounds like an awful, that sounds brutal is what that sounds like.
Yeah, the pinning of it takes almost as long to paint it because you're afraid to mess it up.
So,
sorry.
No, you're good.
So, I will complain about that.
So, I know in a lot of ways, you know, I want to try and just kind of make it's hard to make the turn on something like this, mostly because of the fact that it's like, hey, we did a thing and it was awesome. Like, you know, so there's a couple ways that I kind of want to, you know, do what we do, which is make the turn and talk about spiritual stuff. And part of it is related to TavernCon and everything. This is I want to make sure that we always keep in mind just to be grateful for all the stuff that goes into making this happen. We could spend a lot of time talking about all the efforts that we put into making TavernCon awesome. Because, you know, I'm not into to false humility or anything like that. We put in a lot of work to make this good. Like that's, it's true. That happens. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of people to make TavernCon what it is. But ultimately, it comes down to two things that continue to make me humble. One is, you know, I will throw the spiritual cheese out there. Yeah, it's God. This ministry is still living in a world that is utterly unique and what many people won't view as ministry. And so when I say, hey, please give us some money so we can keep doing this weird ministry, it is God that makes this happen. It's God that has made this not only continue to be functional, but actually has helped grow what we're doing. And I don't doubt that for a second. I don't deny that this is clearly something that he's doing. And the other thing is that I always want to make sure that I thank our community, because even folks who weren't there, even folks that were not actively participating in TavernCon, there were plenty of people who shared links to our thing, who said that they were praying for us, who do all sorts, and there were plenty of people who go out of their way every year to travel to get to us. And it was still amazing. This year, they showed up last year for the first time. There was a whole crew. And I don't need to call them out, because if they're listening to this, they know exactly who they are. There was a giant crew of people who rolled up. And it was funny, because TavernCon is always interesting. Because there are some years that everybody shows up early, and by the time like 4 or 5 in the afternoon hits, everybody's gone. This year, literally, we didn't see anybody until like 11 o'clock, you know, 11:30 even. But when they showed up, it was like a carload of like 15, 20 people.
They show up right at lunchtime.
Yeah, and it was all this crew. And so I'm very thankful that so many people are not only excited about what we're doing or even happy to be at our event, but who go out of their way to gather people together and who get into cars. Heather, who comes out every year, who, you know, I always jokingly say is InRoads number one fan, because she was a fan of our podcast before InRoads was even a thing. It came out from Maryland, which is always crazy to me. We had plenty of people who came out from Pennsylvania, including Jeff Jackson, who is our tavern admin. Like, there's so many people who do so much to make TavernCon happen, and I'm very thankful for that.
He was rubbing that in, by the way.
Look, I've told you before, and I will tell you again. I need you at GaryCon. Do not make your wife angry.
Oh no, it's just so funny. I was messaging the group, and because we've been trying to do a Savage Worlds game, and he's like, "Sorry guys, I'm currently preparing for TavernCon. I'm at TavernCon right now." Like, shut up, Jeff.
I'm continually thankful for all of that, and I want to make sure that gets put out there. Not only, you know, putting on my president hat, but also just because, you know, I always fight against it, but I know it's true that for a lot of people, I am the face of InRoads, and the ministry suffers for the fact that I'm the face of it. But I always want to make sure that I step out and say that there are so many people who make this happen, and everybody is a part of it, that there's no way that I am responsible for this craziness that we get to do every year. And it really is a blessing to me to see it all come together, to see things like my friend and pastor, not only I got a picture of him playing Pitch Car, and I thought that was special.
Yeah.
Then later on, apparently, as I was playing Alien Artifacts, he comes up and he said, "I played that game. You know that game, the Cash and whatever." And I'm like, "What now?"
Cash
and he goes, "Yeah, I played Cash and Guns." And I'm like, "I had a chance to get a picture of a pastor of this church pointing foam guns at people. And I didn't take that opportunity."
Yeah.
It was great too, because he gave me flack about it afterwards. Because I put out there in the event page, I said, if anyone has a picture of this man playing Cash and Guns, I want it. I will do whatever it takes. And nobody came back. The only person who came back was Heather, who said, "I can verify that he did play and that he did win, but I didn't take a picture of it." And right after that, he put a little comment and he goes, "The perfect crime."
So that's the person that you have somebody follow around with a camera.
Right.
But listen, I got pictures of you playing this game. We need funding.
So there's that. There's that. Yeah. And this is the other thing, and this is partly just as an explanation of something that's probably going to be happening soon, and something also just as a personal prayer request to everybody in our community. There has been some stuff that's been going on in the Perna household, and I've gone back and forth as to whether or not I was going to make this a thing on the podcast. And I think because of this, I'm gonna, didn't even tell Daniel knows about this, but I didn't even tell him that I was going to drop this on the podcast. But something that happens with, talking about TavernCon and talking about what's been going on in it and making sure that we talk about just how much of a community this is and how much of a multi-person effort this is. The short version, the not going into all the details version, is that, because my son was born, because my wife had to cut her hours back, because the company that I work for, recently was bought out and the new owners basically said, "Hey, to make this company work, we need to make sure that no one has overtime." So company wide, he said, nobody can work overtime. Part of the way that we were able to function is because I was putting in 5 to 9 hours of overtime a week. And so when the numbers all shake out, our household income basically just over the course of a couple weeks took a 12 grand a year hit. And what this means is that the likelihood that I'm going to end up being into a world of craziness that involves things like potentially selling our house and that sort of stuff, is imminent. And what is even more imminent and more likely is the fact that I'm probably going to have to get a second job because, as many people know, but not everybody does, because there's usually at least one or two people said, "What do you take in from InRoads?" I don't pull a cent from InRoads. As we said at the beginning of this podcast, we try to do, the best we can with the money that we've got coming in. And so literally everything we have goes into the ministry. I do not see a dime of donated money to this ministry. So InRoads is my second job that doesn't pay me. I have my first job, which now has taken a giant hit. I will probably take a second job to make money to make sure that our bills get paid and my baby boy has food. So what that probably means is that in the not too distant future, to use an MST3K line, I will probably be appearing less and less in InRoads related stuff. Don't worry. This is not me stepping away from InRoads. This is not me not being president anymore. This is not me, kind of not doing the ministry. I couldn't not do this ministry. But what it means is that I'll probably be showing up fewer and fewer on things like this podcast and some of the other stuff. You'll probably won't see me responding to near as much stuff in the tavern and all that stuff, because when I actually do get a second job, so much of InRoads happens between the hours of 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. in the morning. That's because I go to my day job. I come home. I take care of my son until Susan gets back from her job. I spend time with my family. And then they go to bed and I start inroads work. I can't do that when I have another job. So my big prayer, and so partly this is announcement, just because if and when that happens, I want to make sure that y'all know that this is something that is happening, that this is something that is in existence. It's also a prayer request, because I have always viewed the Inroads crew and the tavern, the regular, the regulars, as family. And it's even become, over the years that I've been doing this, it's even become more true. The fact that so many of you, when I stepped away to take care of Suze and Noah, that so many of you guys reached out to me. The fact that that I have that owlbear that Andy sent. The fact that so many of you have messaged me and even still ask how we're doing. That so many of you have cared about and cared for my family. I'm not putting this out in a lot of, in fact, even on my own personal Facebook, I have not shared the degree to which, you know, this is necessary. But I'm telling you guys because I want you to know. So there is a lot of questions about what the specifics of, what's coming up look like. One thing that I know for sure, because when discussing what would need to be cut back and what I need to make sure still happens, my wife looked at me and said, no, you can still do Bard and Bible. Cause she knows how much that podcast means to me. But yeah, so there's a lot still very much up in the air. There's a lot I don't know what it's going to look like. But before it gets to a point where I have to make some kind of last minute announcement about me cutting back and doing what I have to do, I want to get that out to you, because so often it's easy for somebody like me to get on a podcast and say that it's important to trust God. It's easy for somebody to get on the airwaves or get on a YouTube video or to do anything like that and say, you know, God is worth following, that God, has a plan and is, you know, that plan might be scary at times, but, you know, sometimes you just need to tuck in and deal. It's easy for me to do that from a place where everything's okay. I want to dig deep into, what is often one of my favorite passages of scripture. We talk about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, because I always like using their actual names as opposed to the names that they were given. We talk about that story, and we love when they stand up and they said, you know, basically they said, God has the ability to save us from this fire, that God has the ability to take us out of this. And we love that. We love that standing up to the king, and we love that, you know, there's another guy in the fire and they come out, there's not even any singe on them. But there's a line in there that I cling to in moments like this, and a lot of times we just kind of read over. Here's a mini Bard and Bible for you. A lot of times we read over this line. That's why it's become so important to me. When faced with the fire, they confidently say God's worth following and God has the ability to save them. But then he says, but even if he doesn't, even if God doesn't save us from this, he's still worth fire. He's still worth following. And yeah, I don't know what it looks like. It honestly terrifies me. I'm totally leaving in all this stuff where I'm basically on the verge of tears recording this. I'm not going to edit or put in any kind of future mic in here. I'm leaving all of that because I want you to know how scared I am about this, because I hate the idea of not spending more time. I've tried so hard to orchestrate being able to spend more time making inroads happen. And here I am looking down the barrel of making less of it happen, at least by me. And maybe I'll come out the end of this saying that, you know, that I just, this is a lesson in me needing to trust God more, because maybe I have been holding inroads a little too close, and maybe it is something that, you know, I need to let go a little bit. I don't know, but I want to make sure that we end this episode, and this isn't going to be an immediate change. I still haven't found that second job yet, so you never know. Next episode, I might still be back, but, it's coming, and I want you to know about it, and I would really, really appreciate that y'all be praying about this with me and praying about this with my family as we try to make this work and try to keep this ministry rolling with what we get to do with it, because it has become so important to me over the, I just did the math, this year Inroads is 5 years old. Officially 5 years old. It's older than that, but from the day we got our 501c3, it's 5 years old this year. And yeah. So I want to keep doing it, and I really hope that I get to. And I pray that you'll be joining with me in prayer to make that happen.
I love you.
Love you too, buddy.
You want to end it? Or do you want me to?
How about you? I just had a heart dump all over the end of this podcast. How about you end it for us?
We just need to remember that God is the game master. And no matter how the dice falls, the game goes on.